hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number. And we got a line open at 866-444-3478. Whatever you want to talk about, landscaping, gardening, pest control, compost making. We're going to start off talking about planting some acorns, it looks like. Check out our website, dirtdoctor.com. You want a free newsletter, just fill out the form on the homepage there. During the week, if you have a question, send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. We try to answer the members' questions on a priority basis. That is the Organic Club of America. You can learn about that by clicking on the green button over there on the left-hand side of the page. One quick thing before we go to the phones. I got up this morning and I heard an owl very close, or I heard a sound that I thought was an owl, and I walked outside, and sure enough, it was silhouetted against the sky that was lighting up, big owl, probably a barred owl. And I went back in to get my camera, and I've got an LED flashlight. I was going to try to get a photograph, and he or she had taken off. But it's really cool. We have a lot of owls around our place, and that's a good thing because it helps with the rodent control. But he or she was very vocal this morning. It was kind of fun. To Maybank, first off, and talk to Owen. Hello, Owen.
Good morning, Howard.
Morning. What can I do for you?
I have a question. I've got a bumper acorn crop this year in my yard. Mostly it's pin oaks, and I have one red oak. Wanting to plant some acorns and in pots. And then I want to transplant them next spring or early summer when they come up. When would be the best time to plant them in pots? And should I plant them in the native soil I have, or should I use potting soil, or what?
Well, it's good questions. You have sandy acid soil there, I guess, if you've got pin oaks that are doing really well.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Yeah, you'd plant a pin oak, and a red, pin oak is a red oak, but you plant any of the oaks that of any kind the same way, basically. The first thing is to try to decide if the acorns that you have are still viable. When they're laying on the ground, it doesn't take long, especially this year for some reason. I've been watching that pretty closely myself for the weevils to bore a little round hole in them and get in and eat the protein inside, feed on that, and that kills the viability of the acorn. So the first thing to do is to get the acorns as soon as they fall and hit the ground as much as you can. You may have already done that. If you haven't, you need to do it right away, and the timing is to plant them as soon as possible. Now, to tell whether they're still viable or not, one of the old techniques is to throw the acorns in a bucket of water, and the ones that float will tend to be the ones that are bad, that have an insect that's drilled in, and they're lighter, and that's why they float. So throw any floating ones away is kind of the first step. There are some acorns, for whatever reason, the density of them or whatever, that will actually float and still be viable. But for the most part, most of the acorns that are good will sink to the bottom of the bucket. Then inspect them, make sure there's not any cracks. If there's cracks in the acorn, throw it away. It won't be any good. Any of those little round holes, throw them away. Then plant in either potting soil, or better still, a potting soil that has a little of your native soil mixed in with it. So you inoculate the potting soil with the native biological activity. That's my favorite way to go. You can use just organic potting soil and get them started that way, but if you put a little of the native soil with it, I think it's even better. You can do it in pots. You can do it in flats. You can put all the acorns in one big pot or one big flat, and once they germinate and start to grow, you can gently lift them and put them into other individual pots, or you can start them in the individual pots if you have the room from the very beginning. Most people would say plant any seed, including an acorn, about twice the depth of the length of the seed, the acorn in this case. On the other hand, I learned this from Dr. Carl Whitcomb. Acorns like to be just kind of countersunk into the soil surface so you can still see it. And it's kind of cool because you can see the cracking open and the germination in the root, you know, coming up and rolling over and going downward, and then the little top part coming up. It's kind of neat to watch that. Keep the soil moist after they're put in. You can get them germinating and growing in a greenhouse, you know, right away. Or you can just protect them in cool in the refrigerator until spring, plant them and put them outside to germinate and grow, you know, in natural warmth outside. The risk there is squirrels. Squirrels will come and ruin your planting if you don't put some kind of wire mesh or lava gravel or something like that that will deter them. But that's the process, simple as that. And you can plant them in, once they're germinated and growing, you can put them in larger pots, or you can move them and plant them in the ground if they can be somehow protected, you know, in the area where they're planted until they get large enough to take care of themselves.
Okay. Yeah, I picked up, I bet a gallon bucket full of them yesterday. That wind yesterday all day, the ground's just covered in the acorns under the tree. So I've got ones that just fell off.
That's what you want. That's good. The wind was incredible yesterday. We were driving back from Houston yesterday, and boy, I was getting blown all over the road yesterday. It was very strong. But those are the ones you want. As soon as they release and drop to the ground, that's the perfect time to get them, and it's the perfect time to get them planted. Or put them in the refrigerator and store them for planting in the spring. And what you might do, since you got plenty of them, Owen, see which way works best for you, do some of them both ways. Do some of them store until spring, and do the other half or whatever percentage planting them right away.
All right, I'll try that.
The only other thing you might want to do is to, in the water that you're going to find out which ones float and which ones sink, or just put in a little hand spray bottle, some Garrett juice that's mixed up in the same mixture that you would spray foliage with, and treat the acorns that inoculates them, especially if you use the Garrett Juice Pro, which has beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizae in it. That will help more even germination and a little bit faster establishment of the seed.
Okay. I appreciate it very much. Thank you much.
Appreciate the call. Thanks.
Okay.
Let's see. We were talking about something off the air that y'all didn't hear that I was going to tell you about. I'll think about it in a minute and bring it up. Mary, right now in Mesquite, is next up. Hey, Mary.
Hey. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a huge Chamard oak. Covers almost the whole backyard. And for the past 2 years, there has not been one acorn on it.
Really?
And before, the whole backyard was covered. It's about 20 years old, so I'm just wondering. It looks good. I see no problem, you know, with it.
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people listening right now, Mary, that are jealous.
No.
Because they don't like all the acorns to have to deal with.
We used to have to just be careful, you know, from falling, walking on them. But it's just so strange, and I thought, well, what could be wrong? You know, if there's anything wrong with the tree or...
That's very interesting. I assume, since you say the tree's really pretty and all, that it's healthy and you're... Are you using an organic program?
Yes, yes.
How do your other plants look?
They look fine.
Everything looks good.
I see nothing going on except no acorns.
Well, here's one thing to at least consider to be the issue, and it would be a little strange, but we see the heaviest seed production on plants, the heaviest fruit production, which, of course, leads to the seed, on plants that are in some degree of stress.
Well, that was my concern. You know, I didn't know what.
Well, if yours has none, that may mean that it's so happy that it has no interest in producing any seed to protect its genetics.
Okay. Well, now, it does have some of the big roots on top of the ground.
Well, that's good.
That's good. Well, that's what I thought I'd heard. Okay.
There's nothing bad about that at all. Some people don't like that, but especially if they're, you know, close to the tree and part of the flare, that's a good thing. I think your plant is just so happy it decided, for whatever reason, not to produce fruit this year.
Okay. Well, that sounds good then.
Wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
That's something a lot of people would love to have. Oh, I know what I was thinking about. I was talking to Regina off the mic, off the air, and we were talking about ivy on the trees. Well, I don't want to rush it. I'll talk about it for you when I come back. There's one thing that came up when we were chatting that I wanted to pass on to everybody. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, open line for you at 866-444-3478. We'll go back to the phones right after this break.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, is Howard's newest book. Howard explains in detail how to establish and maintain lawns, covering, planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. This book explains an easier, less expensive, and less water-intensive program than using conventional lawn care. Have the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood. Get more information or order this great book today by going to Howard Garrett Books on DirtDoctor.com.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you. One thing I wanted to cover very fast, and we'll get to the phones, is the ivy on trees. Regina and I were talking off the air about the ivy. She hadn't heard me talk about it, and she's kind of new to this whole organic approach and everything, and didn't get the newsletter. First of all, we do have a newsletter about the subject. It was a couple of times ago, a couple of weeks ago. The archives are there on dirtdoctor.com. The reason that you do not want to leave the ivy on the trunks of trees is it fouls up the bark's natural ability to breathe. The bark is on trees as a protection material, but it also is designed to breathe and be dry, not to be wet all the time. Now, there's some exceptions to that, you know, bald cypress that are growing in water and that sort of thing, but they're specialized in their makeup. The bark on most trees, if it's covered with soil or bark, that if the flare is covered, that's why we're so into and so insistent upon exposing that, because that tissue that's the base of a tree is bark. It's not root tissue. As the trunk flares out at the ground level, that is trunk tissue. It will never, if it's covered, it will never convert over to root tissue. The opposite will happen if a tree, you've probably seen it on the bank of a creek or whatever, is washed away. The roots that are exposed will develop bark. They'll turn into bark, but the reverse will not happen. So it's extremely important to get the soil and the bark off that flare. Well, the ivy and the ground cover that's growing up on the trunk does the same kind of negative thing. Holds too much moisture. It collects dust and debris, builds up soil. It's a problem. So get it off of there. Even if you think it looks good, it's not good for the tree. Ann called earlier and called back, so we're going to move her to the top of the list. And Mesquite listening on 660 The Answer. Hi, Ann.
Yes, I have a question about two different things I've heard. One is when a freeze is coming in and we've been through a dry spell, it's good to water before the freeze gets here to close up the soil so that the cold doesn't go down to the roots. The other thing, what's to me kind of conflicting, you told someone rather recently to auger holes, 2-inch holes, and fill them with lava rock around the outside perimeter of a tree to help overcome this extreme drought we've been in. Why doesn't the cold go down in those holes and damage the tree roots?
Well, that's a good question. I think maybe it would to a small degree, but you got to remember that it's a very small, those holes, even if you augured a thousand of them around, you know, throughout the root zone of a tree, it's still going to be a very small percentage of the soil. And so the rest of the soil is still going to be functioning, you know, in its insulating capacity. The drilling of an auger and filling it with gravel and forming those vents and all that would primarily be done in a soil area, a root system area, where the soil is too heavy and staying, you know, maybe a little too moist or has a problem. So you're in both cases, you're trying to move it toward being in a more aerobic, natural condition.
Okay. A couple of other questions about old-timey flowers, zinnias and periwinkles. I don't see, they've been changed in their nature when you buy seeds now.
A lot of cases, that's true.
Periwinkles used to produce a little, almost ground pepper size seed, tiny little black beady seed. And I can feel them through the envelopes of seed packets, and they're big, I can tell. And the zinnias are not the pretty, intense, clean colors that they used to be. It's a smaller plant, but it's not the old-fashioned zinnia color.
Well, I think that it'll go both directions. Some of the new hybrids produce more vivid colors. That's why they've hybridized them, is to get larger flowers and more color in certain situations. But I'm sure the reverse is true also. Something that would go along with what you're suggesting there, Ann, though, that I've noticed is that periwinkles are one of the plants that periwinkles and one other one, impatience to a degree, but periwinkles probably more so than any. If you buy a periwinkle from a nursery and it has come from normal growing operations, it has a real strong tendency, even in an organic program, although it can be controlled with organics, to have a disease that just kind of melts it away. It's a common problem with periwinkles. If you let that periwinkle go to seed, though, and come back from seed in the place where you grew it, that crop won't have that disease problem nearly as badly. It'll kind of revert back to the original genetics, I guess, to some degree.
Well, when we first bought our property, we were on a deep well, artesian water, lots of salt, and a lot of things wouldn't grow, but I could grow periwinkles. And they reseeded themselves every year. I'd had plants 18 inches tall.
That's good. That's a good way to do it.
But one of the fellows at A&M had a little, he put out a paper. He was not altogether organic, but he was sort of that way. And he said the salt sometimes in the water, high salt, helped that problem of whatever that
salt in the wound is antifungal. That's exactly right. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Hang on, Ann. I'll talk to you off the air. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number to be with us is 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with GaraJuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, GaraJuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels. But did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body. And elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you. And I was just listening to barred owl sounds on my computer. They are so cool, owls of all kinds. But the bard is what we had in our yard this morning that was really chatting away. Let's get back to the phones here. Let's go to San Francisco, listening on the internet, and talk to David. Hey, David.
Hey, Howard. Howdy, Howard.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, you know, I was hearing about how this flash floods, the drop of what they got 9 feet of snow in the upper Midwest, and then all of a sudden it turned warm and started melting fast.
Yep.
So I was, if that's indicative of global warming, I think what was it? Typhoon Nuri down in the Pacific was so big that it went from the Philippines all the way up to Alaska. And then just pushed all of that cold air straight down to Texas. And so the idea that this is going to happen time and time again, with the hotter the oceans get, the more you're going to see these massive storms. And so I'm wondering about erosion control up there. And it crossed my mind that there'd be two different possibilities. You remember how they used to make ice, in the old days before refrigerators? They used to take a pond and just cut it apart. I'm wondering if they could catch, do some quick sort of like drainage ponds and then make ice out of it. and retain it up there at least, so it could, you know, put a bunch of hay over the top of it. And, you know, you could do acres and acres of these temporary ponds that would be able to hold that back, because the topsoil loss from the upper Midwest is going to be terrible this year.
Well, it might do some good, David, but the truth is there's no way man can do enough to change what nature's, you know, can do a lot easier. That's the issue. There's definitely change going on. There's no question about it. Is it natural cycles or of, you know, exactly what's going on? You know, people can debate and argue about till the cows come home. But the truth is that when nature makes some big changes, whether it's volcanic or water or whatever, the size of it is something that we can't change. Man can't do something real quick to change.
Well, they want to save that topsoil, though, and it's still got miles to go before it gets to the Missouri River or something. But I'm just thinking of all these possibilities for saving that topsoil, because if this happens twice a year for the next 40 years, you know, the upper Midwest is going to be like Missouri.
Yeah, and whether it's going to happen again or, you know, often is anybody's guess. You know, one thing in the conversation about weather change or whatever you want to call it, if there is a significant impact from what man is doing, you know that the thing that is the most significant rarely gets talked about. It's not cars. It's not industrial pollution. It's not any of the things that you hear the most talked about. What it is our current kind of agriculture that has bare soil.
Yeah.
You know, that has more influence on it than anything, because of the carbon loss from the bare soil.
Didn't they talk about monocultures 100 years ago?
Oh, sure. There, you can go back and look at history and see that people have talked about these issues, you know, over and over and over again. And really good agriculture that is sustainable has always been in small plots with hedgerows broken up into smaller pieces, using organic techniques or whatever you want to call them, managing the carbon cycle in the soil with cover crops and things like that, the plowing and the leaving of the bare soil out there, and the making of these gigantic, huge farms without hedgerows and without good management.
You know, it crossed my mind. Well, it just crossed my mind as you were talking about that if you remember back in the 70s, a lot of the baby boomers all of a sudden lost their farms because of the economic downturn during Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reagan and the savings and loans crooks lost a lot more farms, and so they got centralized by banks instead of by honest agricultural people. And so they've been these management companies just running what has become the farms, and so this monoculture has only gotten worse because the management company hasn't got a clue.
Well, that's been going on for a while, like you say, and it's been going on led by both parties, and that's still the case today.
Sure.
Unfortunately, we don't have anybody on our side in the government to do the kind of things that really need to be done out there in our area.
Well, you know, there's a lot of boards and commissions, and just looking at erosion control, I mean, that's not a liberal conservative issue. That's erosion control.
Yeah, it's just common sense and
practicality. Yeah, and so the idea that we may have just had an election and one side was supposed to have won, but let's make sure we get some erosion control people on these boards that know what they're thinking or, you know, what they're doing.
Good points, David. Thanks for calling.
Sure, thanks.
Talk to you later. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I wish we had one of the parties that was really into these things that we're talking about, but they tend to be really into genetic modification, GMOs, and things like that. It's all about money. Joyce in Colorado Springs next up. Hello, Joyce.
Good morning.
Listening on 1460, is that right?
Yes, 1460, I called about one thing, but I'm just going to make a comment quickly about your last caller and your comments. I came from a ranch background here in Colorado. I'm a shrink now, so I moved a few miles away from that. But in this whole process, I sat on the board at Colorado State University for 6 years, an advisory board. And I don't remember if I volunteered or I was placed on the water group, but I was with people from the urban areas in Colorado that had no understanding of water issues or of the all the land use that you're talking about. And so it has been going on for a number of years, but it isn't just Washington, D.C. It's the people who control the state level.
No, I agree. And I agree
really
with you.
It does worry me. But that wasn't what I called about. I have a new greenhouse this last summer, and you know I have ponds. I have two ponds. And I have moved my winter. I took out my pumps this winter. I've always taken out the main huge pumps but for the pond waterfalls, but I've always had an aeration pump in there. I removed that this year, and I have an oxygenation condenser, and it has these stones, so-called, that aerate the ponds and gives a much better, I think, aeration for the koi.
Good.
However, the compressor is in the greenhouse. It does give off a very, very, very small amount of heat, but not enough. How can I determine what kind of heating system I need in the greenhouse to make it useful all year round here in Colorado? We're about almost 7,000 elevation, and we have beautiful days. Yesterday was 69 degrees, so it isn't that we're cold all the time.
Right.
But we had a huge, about a week long of awful cold weather, and we'll probably have some more, even though we have sunshine at the same time. What is a very, very small greenhouse. I think it's 7 by 8. So it's very small. How do I compute the amount I need of heat for the winter? And are there some really good energy-saving heating systems?
Well, there's a couple of things I'd recommend that you look into. There's, I forget the specific name of the book and the website, but there's there are people that are into the greenhouse of design and construction that work on passive energy. Of course, there's some little space heaters and things, and in fact, that's what we do in our greenhouses. We use very simple space heaters to kick the temperature up so it stays, you know, in the 40s. It doesn't stay, you know, real warm. It just keeps it above freezing and barely into the 40s, and you can do that by simply putting an extra layer on the outside, which is what we do. We put an extra layer of plastic on the outside of the greenhouse, and then we keep we have vents that open during the day. Ours are manual, so that when the sun hits, it doesn't build up too much inside. And the other thing on passive that you can do, and there's information on the internet about this if you just search for it specifically, putting energy sinks in the greenhouse. With a small one, it's a little harder than with a big one. But I was taught by a friend of mine that was into organics when he was around years ago, that if you put barrels full of water and have a floor that's some kind of pavers that can catch the sun during the day and store it. It's an energy sink, more or less, and then radiates out at night. It lowers the amount of energy that you'd have to provide by, you know, some kind of gas or electric space heater. Mine, for example, faces south. So in the summertime, theoretically, as the sun is down at a much lower angle, it comes into the greenhouse all the way and hits the back wall of the greenhouse, so you can warm up containers of water and other things. I say in theory because we've got so many trees now that the sun can't quite get through to function like it was designed to do. But that's something that you can do facing the south and the primarily facing the south, so as the sun goes across, that low angle can come into the greenhouse and warm whatever's in there. And then in the summertime, if you want to go the opposite way, you can have a roof on it that actually blocks the sun from getting in the greenhouse. You see what I mean?
I do. My greenhouse is in the last space I have in the yard. It's very much in a corner. Has no real possibility for that. It's behind. I have one massive waterfall It comes off of about 10 or so feet high, and that whole block of area has full-grown pine trees and stuff on it. It is almost like a reproduction of a mountainside, and the greenhouse is behind that.
Well, you've got some of the same problems that I do, and you're going to have to solve that just with better insulation on the outside. Like I said that I do, I put an extra layer on, and then space heaters inside. There are people also that put permanent planting in the greenhouses that grow and have animals in the greenhouse as well, birds, rabbits, various other things that help to generate some, not only some heat, but also the manure from those operations used in the planting. So do a web search on greenhouses that use passive energy collection and use, and I think you'll find what you're looking for.
Thank you so much. I would love to have a bigger greenhouse, but that's not possible.
Well, that's the next step. Talk to you later. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back with you right after this.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Order BioSI's lawn and garden products today by contacting BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com. That's BioSITechnology.com.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina,
and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and there's an open line for you at 866-444-3478. I can't remember the specific book and website that I've got in my mind. I'll hopefully find it before the show's over. I can visualize the book that I have in my office. A good place to start, though, for those of you interested in looking at these alternative greenhouse ideas like I started talking about, the first place maybe to go is permaculturenews.com. Permaculture, P-E-R-M-A, culturenews.com. It's a good starting point. They've got a lot of good information, and they may have some good links for you. And then pit greenhouses, do a search on that. In other words, a greenhouse that has at least a portion of it underground, and the people in really severely cold areas are into this. And the lady that I'm trying to remember her name has done it in – actually sells plans and is into it big time. In a lot of cases, you'd have to build a new greenhouse and start from scratch with some of these ideas, but it might give you some ideas that you could use to adapt the greenhouse that you have to make it more energy efficient and more productive for whatever you're trying to grow. So start with those two, and I think you'll run into some interesting information there. Donnie in Paris listening on 660. Haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on?
It is another one of God's beautiful days.
You know, I've been talking to several of my buddies recently and friends and relatives and everything about the fact that we've had a lot of just absolutely gorgeous days, even though the weather has been kind of roller coastery and crazy. We've had some beautiful days.
Well, we're getting ready for something because all of my animals, their fur is getting real dense and thick.
Is that right? Well, we got cold weather coming tonight, in fact.
The gentleman that called a while ago and wanting to plant acorns for his trees.
Yeah.
I plant mine like Mother Nature does. I gather my acorns, but I float them in Garrett juice.
Okay.
And then the ones that go to the bottom, those are the ones that I decide where I want them to come up, and I step on them.
That's a good
plan. In the ground. And so I don't forget where I've got them. I take the red clothes hangers, stretch it out, and have the curl up at the top poke that down in the ground so I can see it.
Good idea.
Where the hook is that you put over the pole or whatever, bend that around so you can put something on it to label it, to tell you what it is, or most importantly, just to tell you where it is. And then in the spring, they come up. They'll come up over winter.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to go. Do you have a lot of them vanish because of the squirrels?
Well, my little dog won't let the squirrels come around.
Okay, good. That's great. The reason that works so well for you, Dottie, is you've been organic for a long time, and the soil is friable enough to where the acorns will go down in the soil. For a lot of people, it'd probably crush the acorns.
Well, I'd get something and scrape the ground loose.
Yeah, just build up the biological activity. But no, that's a good way to go.
It
I like that.
Real good. That way you don't have to worry about pots and the potting soil and everything, and you've got them planted where you want them to come up.
Well, plus, if you need to, you can transplant them from those places also, so you could do either one. I like your plan.
That is true. And you have a very blessed day.
Thank you, Dottie. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
See ya. And we got wide open lines all of a sudden. It's been interesting. People are jammed on the lines, and then they're all gone. It's just up and down. I guess people are still finishing up their Thanksgiving weekend, maybe a lot on the road. But if you've got a chance, give us a buzz at 866-1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. I mentioned to people in the beginning of the show that we had our family golf tournament. We did put a picture of our team on Facebook. We tied for first, lost in the playoff, didn't have an actual playoff, came in second in the tournament. Had a great time. We have a really fun tournament. And I was going to tell you something kind of interesting. We shot 12 under, which was three teams shot 12 under. In a way, a scramble works for those of you who don't play golf. Our five-man team, men and women team, everybody hits the tee shot, and then everybody goes to where the best tee shot was, and everybody hits from that place, and then everybody gets a putt on the green at the hole. And as I said, my wife plays once a year in this tournament. She made the first two birdie putts for us. First one 30 something feet, and the second one about five feet. And I actually thought we were going to run away with it shooting that kind of score, but two other teams did the same thing. But what's interesting is that our young friend Jordan Spieth, who just won the Australian Open, his second win on the tour, and he's 21. First one he won is 19 John Deere tournament, but he shot the last day yesterday 63, 13 under by himself. Set a new course record. Took five of us to come within a shot of what he did by himself. Fun stuff. Well, people are loading up. We'll get to the phones when we come back from this break. If you don't have time to call and have questions during the week, go to our website, dirtdoctor.com. Everything's in alphabetical order in the library area. You can get information about all my books there, all the publications that we recommend. You can go in the chat rooms, talk to other gardeners. You can sign up to be a member of the members area, the Organic Club of America. Sign up for the newsletter. Just fill out the form and send it in. You get it free. It comes out weekly. And if you have a question in the meantime, just send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. We'll do another hour. If you don't get the show, listen online at dirtdoctor.com. Talk to you in a bit.